We started a few weeks ago on just talking on grace and faith and the importance of being a person of grace and faith. Many times people ask me, are you a faith person? Yeah. And then someone else say, are you a grace person? Yeah, because I'm a grace and a faith person. I don't believe you can be one without the other. And if you read the New Covenant and you get into the epistles, it's all about grace and faith. We're not under the law. So what are we under? We're under grace. But you know, if you're a grace person, you have to be a faith person, because grace and faith go hand in hand. Amen. Even in the book of Galatians, you have Hagar, who was a bondwoman, a woman of bondage, and she represents the law in the book of Galatians. And not that the law is unholy or anything. The law is holy, the Bible tells us. But the problem was, you can't get free from the law, so you stay in bondage. And it's an administration of death to us, because we can't get free when we're underneath the law. But then you have Abraham. And Abraham is what? He represents faith. He's the father of faith. And then you have Sarah in the book of Galatians as well. And Sarah represents grace in the book of Galatians. And many of you know, faith and the law don't go together. And Abraham tried that. And it didn't work. But and what was produced was off the flesh. But you know what? Whenever Abraham and Sarah came together, which is grace and faith coming together, then the Son of Promise was produced. And that was not produced off the flesh. It was produced by the Spirit. And that's really as simple as it is. Whenever you come into the New Testament, law and faith don't go together. The Bible says in Galatians that the law is not off faith. It's very simple. It's not off faith. It's not a faith system. It's a work system. If you're going to be a person of faith, you have to hook up with grace. And if you're going to be a person of grace, you have to hook up with faith. Abraham and Sarah go together. And faith and grace go hand in hand. Amen. And when we are people of grace and faith, well, then we'll start to see things happening in our lives. Because grace freely provides, but faith freely receives.
Amen.
Amen. And that's where you have that dovetail joint where those two go perfectly together. Amen. But we started to look last week at what I was just looking at was that there's a lot of things that are freely given. And for everything in the New Testament, really, it's freely given. When you look at the New Testament, everything that we experience in the New Testament, we don't earn it. It's all by grace, which is the unmerited favor of God. And I know we can say that, oh, I'm a person of grace, but it is amazing how many people then fall into works. It's amazing how many people don't base their life on grace. They base their life on their holiness or their church attendance or their clothing or, you know what, because that's what they bring to God whenever they come before God. Or they think that God won't answer my prayer because of how I performed this week. Well, then you're not under grace. You're under law when you think like that. Grace thinks free. Grace has a mindset that everything that comes to me is freely given. I do not earn it. I don't come based on any merit on my part. I receive freely. For many of us, especially growing up in this island, we understand that when it comes to salvation. But it's whenever you talk about answered prayer or something, it's amazing how it changes. Amen. You know, we are just as you are come for salvation, but then it's not just as you are come. You know, now it's, you did this week, you did that this week. The whole emphasis comes on the person, and we're talked out of faith. So we don't come and freely receive answers when it comes to prayer and different things. But we'll get to that. But I was looking last week and just showing that the new birth is free. We understand that we're saved by grace through faith. And it's not of ourselves. It's a free gift. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. We understand then after that we looked at that righteousness is a free gift. In Romans 5 it talks about righteousness as a gift. It is not earned, it's not deserved. We're righteous because of what Jesus done. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Romans 10 says that, you know what, it's through believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth that you are made the righteousness of God and that you're saved. Nothing got to do with earning, it has to do with believing. You believe and it results in righteousness. Amen? And then we were looking at the call of God. There's a call, and thank God that we have a call, but we seen last week that the call also is of grace. And then I started to look at this next part that is off of that. Yes, you have a call, but there's gifts that go with your call. And many of you know they're free as well. And I said last week that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. God never changes his mind whenever he calls you. And the gifts that God gives you, he doesn't take them back. Why? Because they're gifts. And that's good, because sometimes people, you know, don't pursue what God has for them. But if they wake up to it, it's still there for them. It's not like, you know, God says, oh, all right, so you don't want it, and takes it back. And yet, sometimes people leave that impression. But I'm telling you, when God gives you something, it's given freely for you. Amen? Now, let me just look up here, because see, these are the offices, the gifts, all of those things that go with your calling. And it's important to know that you're called. And it's important to know that God has a plan for your life. And that is the discovery of our life after we get saved, is to find out what God has for our life and then start to walk that out with him. And you won't find it outside of Jesus. You only find it in Jesus, because your life is hid with Christ and God. And so everything for your life is in Christ. Amen. We actually looked at all of those things the other week. But let me look here. Ephesians 4 and verse 7. Look what it says here. But unto every one of us is given what? Grace. Amen. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. And we know what that's, the fivefold ministry gifts in this portion of scripture. As it says there in verse 11, it says, he gave. Look at that there. You're looking there, you're talking about grace, gifts, give. That's all free. It's freely given. Amen. Now, God gives gifts unto men. In other words, like, you know, like for fivefold ministry gifts, which are, you could in no way say it as pulpit gifts. So you have the apostle. An apostle is a foundation layer. There's a lot of teaching on that, but you know, in today's world, apostles break open ground. Apostles maybe go into nations and start churches and works where there hasn't been any works. Apostles lay foundations in people's lives. That's what they do. They go in to break open. They're like a bulldozer in many ways. They can go and break open the ground. And so you have the apostle. And the apostle is a unique office, because like you liken it to your hand, you have the apostle like your thumb. And the apostle can like touch every gift in many ways. Where sometimes they have to, in doing it, they just are able to teach, they're able to, you know, evangelize, they're able to do it, but they are an apostle. Okay, then you have the apostle, you have the prophet, that's why you have the, no, but that's not the way a prophet is in the New Testament, but you have then the prophet, and the prophet is someone that can speak vision, and I tell you, it's great when you have people that can come with a vision of God, and if you look in the Bible many times in the New Testament, you'll see apostles and the prophet working hand in hand. Many times the apostle is, I like to look at it like, you know, like on the old locomotive trains, where you have like the work together, the feed into one another. And, you know, and that happens especially in nations where people go in breaking ground. And so you have the vision coming, and God speaks prophetically into a nation as well. Then you have the evangelist. And the evangelist is in the middle finger here. It's the longest finger. And so the evangelist usually goes the furthest, you know, go all over the place and bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we're all evangelized, but being an evangelist is an office, okay, where they actually, like Reinhard Bonnke and different people, just souls, souls, souls. And when you get around evangelists, that's all they talk about. They just see souls. Kevin Purcell. Anytime I talk to Kevin Purcell, souls. It doesn't matter what you, if you start talking about a chair, he'll use that chair as an illustration, some way to tell someone about Jesus, because he just souls on the brain. And every time you talk to him, he's just after leading somebody to the Lord. It doesn't matter why he's up a mountain. It doesn't matter why he's in the church service. When his wife passed away several years ago, I think it was something like 60 something people got saved over the wake and the funeral service. He just thinks souls. Every time he sees a crowd, it's an opportunity. Even though he is heartbroken, I have to tell somebody about Jesus. That's an evangelist. Then you have the pastor, and the pastor is the ring finger. Okay, and that's because he is married kind of like to a congregation. Okay, then you have the teacher, which is where I minister from, and a teacher is the wee one. Gets in your ear. The teacher is able to just dissect the word of God, but it's a gift. It's a gift, but you know what? You know why God gives gifts? He gives gifts to the person, but the person also is a gift to others. And that works for all of us. Whatever God puts in you, yes, you get to enjoy the gift because it's been given to you, but also you've been given as a gift wherever you go. So that's pulpit gift, but you know what they are? They're gifts. They're not earned. I can't see, like, I get a revelation of things. If you talk to me in a one-on-one, sometimes I find it hard to explain things in a one. When I'll explain to Donna something that I'm preaching, even, and then I go and minister. Donald said to me, "That's not what you told me." It's in there, but I find it hard. But when I head into the gift, it's a gift. And I know it. I recognize it. I recognize it as soon as I kick into it, straight away. But it's a gift. And you know what? You'll find out when you have a gift in your life, it's something that when you operate in it, you know it's by God. You know it's freely given. You know it's not something that you like earned or deserved. You know it was something God just put in you. And then what you do is, the Bible says to work out your own salvation. And that doesn't mean to work for it. It means whatever God puts in you, you start working it out. You can't work for anything with God. But God just gives you things like downloads just into you. And then you have to then work it out. And that's the difference between law. Under law, you're trying to earn something. In grace, God gives you it, and then you work it out. Amen? Yeah. It's like Adam in the garden. God put him in a perfect work, but then he said to him to keep the garden. So he didn't work for the garden, but he worked what God gave him. And it's the same for us. What God gives you, you work it out in your life. But you recognize it. It's grace. And when you recognize it's grace, you know it's a gift. And you know, for it to be a gift, somebody had to give it to you. And so the glory doesn't go to you. The glory goes to the one who gave you the gift. And that's what grace always does. Grace always reflects glory back to God. And if you live with a grace thinking, you don't use that there as a weapon against people. Because it was freely given to you, you freely give it to others. And that's what happens many times. People think, "Oh, I earned this," because they start thinking it was their studying or their, you know what, the reason things, you know, were effective or whatever it is because of, they look at themselves. After a while, sometimes you can start thinking it's all of your effort and all of that. That's a danger. It's a trap. It's like in Star Wars. It's a trap. It's a trap. And you have to realize it's a trap. That everything with grace is given. And when you recognize it's given, then you don't sell that to people. You don't sell your gift. You can't do that because you recognize it's a gift. Amen. Over in Romans, see, sometimes people say, "Well, I'm not someone that's called into a pulpit or whatever." Well, you know what? There's more places to be effective in the body of Christ than just in the pulpit. Amen. There's only some. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and so there's only a small group that actually stand in the pulpit. But then there's other gifts over in Romans 12. Look what it says here. "For I say, through the grace given unto me," again, you can see here Paul's going to share about these other graces. But look what Paul's saying. "I say, through the grace that was given unto me." Amen. And so he says to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. But Paul, see, when you're grace-minded, you don't elevate yourself. You recognize it's a gift. And you live with gift thinking. So then in verse 6 it says, having then gifts. Again, you see us here, grace is always gifts. Grace is always given. Grace is always something you receive. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. So every one of us, there's grace has been given unto us. Now you can look at yourself naturally, in the natural realm you have gifts. Some people are good with their head. Some people are good with their hands. Some people can just be creative. Some people are brilliant with literature. Some people are brilliant with music. It's like they've got the music in them. Do you know what I mean? You set them in front of an instrument that they don't even know how to play. They'll start footering with it, and after a while, they're coming up with wee things because the music in them, it just needs to get expressed. It needs to come out in them. You see that even in the book of Genesis. There was, you know, just keep reading at the beginning, there was people who were working with tools, there was people who were working with instruments of music, because, you know, sometimes people just have it. It comes naturally to them because it's just in them. So we have natural giftings, but you know what? They came from God too. People can use them in the wrong way, but God still gave them as a gift. And then we have gifts that are deposited into us the moment you make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. It's like a download just came into you. Do you know what? There's stuff is in you. But sometimes people think if you have a call, you're called to the pulpit. No, if you have a call, it's because it's a holy calling. It's a call from God. It's a high calling because God gave you it. That could be to be to work with kids. That could be, you know, to work with youth. That could be just to serve. There's some people I know, they just love serving. They just love, they're at their best when they're serving. They're at their best when they see things in church that just need to get done. They're at their best. I have friends that do things in church and they like to do it when nobody's looking. And have done over the years, come in when nobody's about. It's like as if something's wrong in the church, like lights are out or something like that. And they see them and other people don't see them because they want to serve. That's their gift. And it comes easy to them because it's grace. Grace makes it easy. Where others struggle. That's why, you know you've stepped into a grace when you step into it and you have to flow with grace. But when you step into it and you still love doing it after 5 years, after 10 years, it's just something it doesn't go away. And when you walk with God, there's things that just start bubbling up inside you that you just have desires to do and you don't know why you have them. It's like as if, where did these come from? They came from God. And you're like, I don't understand why other people don't see it, but they don't see it because they don't have the gift that you have. Amen. But here's a couple other things here. It talks about prophecy. Prophecy is edification, exhortation, and comfort. There's some people, boy, I tell you, in a service, they flow in prophecy. They flow in it. It's just God starts bringing encouraging things up, edification, exhortation, and comfort. It just starts flowing out of them. And when they speak, you know it really is from the Holy Ghost because it does do that. It edifies, comforts, amen, the body of Christ. That talks here about ministry, which is serving. Let us wait on our ministry. So there's people who just love to serve. I always say there's some people that are just graced to make a cup of tea. And there are some people, they're not. Oh, there. You say, what do you want in your tea? Two sugars. Sugars, that'll give you diabetes. You know, it's like, you know, you're not graced for it. We didn't come to church for a lecture, like, you know what I mean? There's some people, they missed their calling. They were meant to be a prison guard, you know what I mean? They love baiting people. Some people are just great at serving. Some people are so welcoming when they meet, you know, you go to church and there's somebody at the door and they're just so welcoming. And they think they're not doing anything. But I'm telling you, do you see when you have somebody who welcomes you, there's a grace there. And there's some people just love doing that. David said it. He loved doing that. You know, he talked about that, just being a doorkeeper. You know, he'd rather do that. You know, I'd be a doorkeeper than, you know, I'd be out in the world. You know what I mean? Just a doorkeeper. Some people go, it's just a doorkeeper. It's not just a doorkeeper. is someone welcoming people to church. Serving is like on praise and worship. You know, in our generation, people think they're rock stars or something. Sometimes people even in worship in some arenas. And you know what? We don't know people's hearts. And I'm not out to judge people's hearts. But you know what? In many arenas, there is people that do those things. And I'm not going to judge individuals, but I'm aware of it. It's become a concert. But you know what, really? Do you know worship? There's no office for worship in the New Testament. Do you know what it is? A server. That's what it is. You serve. You serve the body of Christ in leading people into praise and worship. He that teaches on teaching, which is like Sunday school teaching, any kind of the home group, things like that. There's people that are just graced to do those things. He that exhorts, there are people that are just gifted at encouraging people. There's prophecy, it comes by the gift of the Holy Ghost. But then there's people who are just, they have a grace on them where they just love encouraging people. Do you ever get round someone and they encourage you? There's some people you get round and they encourage you. I mean, they build you up. You could have had a bad week, but they build you up. Then there's other people, every time you get around them, they're like a wet blanket. And thank God that's not a grace gift from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Some people think that's their office to criticize, to tell everybody what they think. That's, most people, you know what I mean? They already know their problems. They're looking for answers. They already know they're facing things. They're not looking somebody then to keep telling them how bad they're doing. They know how bad they're doing. That's why, you know, they're looking for God to help them. It's good to get around people who encourage you. Maybe even if you had a tough week and they come and said, you know what? You know, I was just thinking about you. And you know, and they start speaking and just saying, oh, I see so much in you and stuff. And they're not building them up and saying, oh, I see. They see God in them. They see what God has put in them, the potential of God. No, what it does, it encourages. People need encouraged. But again, these are grace things. He that gives, let him do it with simplicity. There are some people that are graced to make money. And unfortunately, many times people criticize people who make money or people that are business-minded or people who think in increase. As in, there's some people, they're just gifted in finances. They're gifted in making money. They're gifted in business. It's like just whenever they do something, they just know how to get contact. It just comes to them. And I've been around people like that over the years. They can see how it all operates. They can just, they start phoning people and things just start falling into place. It's grace. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of people that are feeling condemned for the gifts that God has given them. There's some people that are graced to do those things. And I'm telling you, the body of Christ needs finances. And, you know, in the church world, do you know who finances mainly the move of God? Christians. And some people criticize and say, oh, they're only after the money. No, it's not. Like, I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that do those kind of things. They're only after money. But you know what? Really, people have a vision from God and they just want to see their vision come into pass. Amen. It's amazing how much money goes into other agendas in the world. Millions to be pumped into. Have you seen how much money has been pumped into the presidential things in America at the minute for advertisement? Millions upon millions upon millions. And then if a church starts building a building, people say, I wonder where they got that money from. But you know what? We shouldn't listen to the world. We should only listen to God and go and do great things in the move of God. Amen. And then it says here, he that rules with diligence, which is like administration. There's people that are gifted in administration. Just brilliant at it. Just brilliant at all of that paperwork, office work. And they're just gifted at it. And it comes naturally to them. And you know, I've been around some great people like that over the years. And it just comes so naturally to them. And then there's people that are gifted with graces for showing mercy. I'm telling you, there's people need the mercy of God. I don't know about you, but I don't get it always right. I need mercy. I need grace in my life. I've seen people mess up big time over the years, and you know what? Thank God for people who don't come with a judgmental, big religious head on them. They see an individual that messed up. They see an individual that is hurting, and you know what they do? They come and show them mercy. Mercy. And thank God for mercy. Mercy is a wonderful thing. You need mercy in your life. Amen. Thank God even whenever we go before God, you come to the throne of grace, and there's grace and mercy. Amen. Grace and mercy. Have you ever done something stupid that cost you? And you come saying, God, I thank you for mercy. Amen. I thank you. Sort all of this out for me. Help me, Lord. Because, you know, I'm just after messing this whole situation up. But I thank you for the mercy of God. Amen. And for the grace of God. Amen. We're so blessed. I didn't mean to spend as long on all of those things. But you know what? It's important for people to find their place. I'm just trying to show that there's graces. And the thing about it is as well, the Bible talks about grace being manifold. Know what manifold means? It means multifaceted. Which means not everyone who shows mercy does it the same way. There are some people that they can be more straight, but there's so much mercy flowing out of them. There are some people who are so smiley, but there's mercy coming out of them. God doesn't have to do the same thing the same way. That's why there's pastors, but a many know is not two pastors the same. There's Sunday school teachers, but they're not the same. And sometimes we want to put people in a mold. But you know what? Grace is something that's alive. It's living. And people just have a way of doing what they do. But you know what? It's grace, and it comes by God, and it's done by the Holy Spirit. It's hard to put it in a box. It's hard to say, here's how you have to do it, A, B, and C. Now you can teach on it. But you walk with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost knows how to draw it out for you to do it the way the Holy Spirit has called you to do it. In harmony with the Word of God, obviously. I know with my gift, I've had people try to put me in a box over the years. I've had people tell me I should do this, that, and the other. And I've tried it, and it just binds you. You're like, you're trying to be in somebody else's model. You're like David standing with Saul's armor on, and you're not able to do it. And you're like, no, I can't do it in your model. I have to do it the way God has graced me to do it. I've heard people that are absolutely amazing ministers, and they stand behind a pulpit like this. Never move. I do it here because it just... For what you're doing with Facebook and different things. But, you know, when you stand in one position, I've seen people, it's like as if they never move. They just stand like out there, but they're anointed. I've seen people, they preach off notes, and they're anointed. I might have scriptures and stuff in front of me, but I couldn't preach off notes. I just can't do it. I need the scriptures in front of me, obviously, but, you know, it's just, people are different, but you know what? You do what you do yourself. You know, it's just some people, they're sweat like a pig. But if they sweat like a pig and they're doing it in their grace, that's okay. Then there's other people, they copy that, and it doesn't look right. Amen. Look here, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. It says here, Paul saying, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church." But look at that. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than them all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." In other words, Paul's saying, the reason I can do what I do is because I'm graced. I don't even deserve it. Well, that's grace. I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle. That's grace. Grace is not given to you based on what you deserve. Grace is given as a gift. And 1 Peter 4, this is a verse that talks about the manifold grace of God. 1 Peter 4, verse 10, it says, "As every man hath received the gift, so even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." You know, we operate in all different types of grace. But we're stewards of it. Be a steward. You can't earn your grace. You can only be a good steward of it. It's been given to you. What are you going to do with it? You steward it. It's been given to you. What will you do with it? But again, every man has what? Received. the gift. And when you see, when it's the call of God upon your life, when it's the offices that you stand in, it's by grace. You cannot earn it. Romans 1 and verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. Paul's speaking. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. Look, it says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Look at this. According to the grace of God which was given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And he talks about how that there's no other foundation that can be laid than Jesus Christ. Amen. But look what he said there. According to the grace of God which was given unto me. You think about Paul. Paul was a religious leader. Yet he knew nothing about the grace of God. He knew the law. And when he got saved, there was a download came into him that caused him to hunger to tell people about Jesus, to go and establish churches. And do you know what it was? It was a grace gift. It was something he didn't have before that. He had natural giftings. He could make tents and all of those kind of things. But God had something for him, a high calling, that could only be found in Jesus. Look at Romans 15. Again, when you see us here, see, it's a way of thinking. We understand grace for salvation, and maybe for the call, and the gifts and stuff like that. But you know what, there's more, but I'm just saying, it's a thinking, you have to see it. Look how much he talks about grace when it's about the call of God upon your life. It's all grace, 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 grace. I am what I am by the grace of God. I labor through the grace of God. God gave me a gift and ability. Now I take that, I'm a good steward of what God gave me. I now go. So Paul's traveling all over the place, establishing churches, taking the flack, taking all of this, and he's operating in the grace. It's not something that he is mustering up. It's not something he's striving for. It's not something he's up all night banging the walls for to get or anything like that. He's not trying to earn. He's not on his knees begging God or anything like that. God gave it to him freely. Now he is in communication with God so that he can fulfill what God has for his life. He's not trying to earn from God. He's in communication with God because he needs God's direction, so that he can take what is deposited in him to go start and bring it and give it to people. Amen. Where is I there? Romans 15. Look what it says here. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ. To who? To the Gentiles. Paul was gifted to speak to Gentile pagans. Now, if you use your head logically, who was more equipped to speak to religious people than Paul? Nobody. Yet, when you walk with God, it's not that you're not logical, but you stop trying to figure it all out. You ask God, you follow the Holy Spirit from within. And Paul was fruitful among the Gentiles. That doesn't make natural sense. It makes sense that Paul was a Pharisee. He understands the law inside and out. If anybody could go and really win the Jewish community, who would it be? You'd think Paul. But no, God sent Paul to the Gentiles. And sometimes people put people in a box that said, you came from a drug background, so you need to go and minister to the drug addicts. That might not be what God has for them. God might cause them to minister in the business world. Who knows? You can't put the grace in a box. That's why sometimes you see people, they get saved in the celebrity world, and people want to then put them straight on the stage. And you see, whenever you put somebody straight on the stage who's come out of that world, they're immature. They may have money, they may have fame, they may have wealth, but they're a novice whenever it comes to spiritual things. And people will take a novice and put them on a stage. And it's the very thing that can sometimes destroy that person, destroy what God is trying to do in their life. When somebody gets saved out of the celebrity world, you know what they need to do? Just go to church. Stop being a celebrity and go to church. Yes, they may have influence and stuff out in the world, but stop thinking that now that just because you sung on a stage or something, that now you can preach to people, because that's a gift to preach to people. Some people just need to go and sit in church, just like anybody else that got saved, and start walking with God and let God mature them and develop them. Because if you put a novice into a position quickly, the Bible says it'll give Satan the opportunity to come in and bring pride into their life and different things. They're not ready for it. Paul was called to the Gentiles and he was graced for it. Galatians 2 and verse 9, it says here, and when James, Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, they perceived the grace of God that was given unto me, this is Paul speaking here, and they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go and preach unto the heathen, and they unto the what? The circumcision. Circumcision being the Jewish people. So Paul and Barnabas, they could see the grace of God on them for to minister to the Gentile world. There are some people are graced to minister in certain nations. I've heard people say over the years, you know what, I could do it anywhere. You can only do it where God's graced you to be. Wherever God's graced you to be. Paul was graced for the Gentiles. And the Bible lets us know that Peter was graced for the Jewish people. Peter was an ignorant and an unlearned man. A fisherman, raw as ropes. And yet he was more effective among the Jewish people than Paul was. Why? Grace. Grace makes it easy. Not that there's not opposition and all of those kind of things, but the gift, it's what you think about morning, noon and night. It's in you. You can't get away from it. Look at here, Romans 1 and verse 11. It says, Paul said, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. I don't know about you, but I know over the years, there's ministers that I've listened to that I still have in me what they deposited in me. I went to a service and something that I heard, it came to me as a gift. Changed my life. Changed the way I thought about things. Delivered me from different things, whatever it was, immaturity, whatever it is, pettiness, anything, offense, different, a deposit. I'm just showing here that there's grace, and there's grace in people, but it's for others. It's like whenever someone's a Sunday school, Dorothy used to teach me in Sunday school, deposited into me as a young boy. There's deposits. Songs you still remember. You know what I mean? Scriptures you still remember. It's a deposit. What is it? It's grace. God loves giving gifts. God loves depositing into us. And as adults, we still get gifts. It's things you hear, things you listen to, it sets you free. I tell you, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There are people that are graced to have a message. Smith Wigglesworth, they used to call him the Apostle of Faith, because I tell you, that man flowed in faith and knew how to minister in faith. There was a depositor. There's ministers that minister certain ways and they have a deposit. If I want encouraged, I know who to listen to because they will encourage me. If I have a need, I know who to listen to because they will teach you into believing God. There's a deposit that comes with their ministry. What is it? Grace. I'll tell you something else, you can copy it. There's people can even say the same words, but it doesn't have the same impact. Do you know why? Because it has to be ministered under the grace of God by the Holy Ghost. It's everything that God does. I know I talk maybe from a ministry, but you can apply it to all of the gifts. It's all by the Holy Ghost. It's all by, you know, the anointed. Amen. And the gifts that you have, Jesus gives them. or actual gifts that are given to you. But the Holy Spirit, he's a spirit of grace. Those are administered out by the Holy Spirit is here. He's in us. Amen. So that we can flow in these things. It's powerful things, so it is. There's ministers I know, like even I think about it, like, you know, from even years ago in the early stages of me getting saved, you know, there's ministers I sat under, there's ministers that traveled to Ireland to minister that greatly impacted my life. And I'm saying it from that way, I can say it for me, but I know you can say it for your life as well. I remember a wee Mexican minister coming to Dundalk years ago when I was in the service, and he taught, he was just teaching on the goodness of God, the faithfulness, the provision of God, how good God is. I was sitting in my seat, I jumped out of my seat and ran. I don't do that, you know what I mean? I don't do those things. Like, I ran that way to go through a door. That's how excited I got. And the door had chairs in front of it, so I couldn't get through the door. So I ran right across the pulpit, right out the door, ran around circles. I thought I was going to run down the street because of a word that was taught that went off in me, and I got a revelation of it. I got a revelation of the goodness of God. It broke a religious mindset on the inside of me, and I took off running. Do you know what that is? It's a deposit from a minister ministering by the grace of God. Amen. Philippians 1 and verse 7, it says here, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in both my bonds and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. Look at this here. You are all partakers of my grace. Thank God when God gives you a grace, it's not something to be selfish with. That is mine. No, it's something that God puts in you for others. Amen. It's for others. Everything that God gives us, it affects others. Isn't that what it says about the body of Christ? Every joint supplies that we minister one to another. There's something in all of us that we get to enjoy because God gave it to us, but you also get the benefit of ministering to others, and there's nothing more satisfying than taking what God has given you and exercising it to where it gives growth to the body of Christ. Amen. And also reaches out as well. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 7. Let me just throw this out here as well with Paul. This was talking about Paul with the call of God upon his life that he didn't marry. But look what it says here. For I would that all men were even as I am. That's what Paul's saying. I wish everybody was kind of like me, because Paul was able to devote all of his time to the things of God. You know why? Because he didn't have to cut the grass. You know what I mean? He didn't have to paint the house. He didn't have to do the attic. He didn't have to do all of them things. You know what? He didn't have to do the natural things that others do. But you know what Paul is saying here? But that was part of the call upon his life. He says, but every man has his proper gift of God. Part of what Paul was called to was to be a man that didn't marry. Now, they say he may have married before. He was a Pharisee. People talk that say that they had to be married and stuff. I'm not sure of all of that. But for his ministry, Paul was able to devote himself completely to the ministry. He didn't have to, when he went traveling and doing what he did, he didn't have to think of, you know what, others in that sense as in the responsibility of home and family. But what he's saying is not everybody has that gift. In religion, it's amazing how some people try to force that on people. And the Bible calls that a doctrine of the devil. When you forbid people to marry, it's a doctrine of the devil, the Bible says. And you can see that people have a drive in them. And if you try to lock that up, it tries to get out in other ways. But here's the thing. Paul had a grace upon him. And that grace made it easy for him to do that and do what he did. But I'm just saying, everybody has graces that go with their life. And whatever God's called you to, there's a grace. And sometimes see people and they're always struggling. You're always struggling in what they're doing. And you're thinking, I wonder, have you found your grace? Sometimes you have to serve as well out of position till you find what God has for you. It's like I always liken it to football. You know, if you take your opportunity to get into the team, you may be in defense, but really you're not really a defender. But at least you're playing in the game. And when you're serving, you're involved. And after a while, what happens is gifts start being recognized and they start coming to the forefront. And sometimes it takes a while to get into the grace that God truly has for your life. But when you're in standing in the grace, you know it's a grace. You know it's a grace. And you know when it's not. But it's a wonderful thing that God has given, is grace for the gifts of God upon our lives. Amen. I'm going to continue on in these because you can see everything's by grace. Next time I'll show that holiness and character and all of those kind of things. Notice by grace. Holiness is a fruit. Character is a fruit. It's a grace. And some people have you striving for holiness, striving for it. No, it's a fruit. Amen. It's grace. Grace will change you more than anything. Amen. So praise God. We'll continue. But all I'm trying to show is that it's all grace. That's all I'm trying to show. Everything that we experience in the new covenant is by grace. Absolutely everything. It is grace and faith. Amen.